Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live and direct from sunny Southern California. I got picks for you. I got guests for you. I'm sure I have more reads from NHTSA, right? People love those NHTSA reads. Listen, they wouldn't be doing a public service announcement if people weren't dumb enough to stop when they see the train lights. Like, don't cross the tracks. We got Bill Belichick commenting on social media. Oh, that's a good one. Ooh, Jeff Schwartz will join us. John Middlecoff will join us. And in 20 minutes, Steve Palazzolo will join us, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. We'll get you ready for a huge weekend in the NFL. That weekend began last night with a somewhat historical matchup, right? Anytime Washington takes on the Giants, there should be some takeaways. You know what's interesting, and I don't know if anybody else has brought this up. I continue to, and I'll get the, why are you picking on Cam? I'm just trying to make a point that so many people who cover the NFL are disingenuous about it, and fans of the NFL just don't know any better. I look, familiarity is the biggest reason why people change jobs or change teams, right? Do I know you? Do I know how you work? Do I know your system? Do I know what you do and how you do? Your job, my job, any job you want, right? Like I have a really, really dear friend who used to be in one field and then took over he's the president now of a major, let's just say, entertainment organization. And then you look at over the last 6 months, the guys and women that he has brought in, and you're like, oh, he's surrounding himself with his boys and with his ladies, with his friends. And of course, that's par for the course, right? I mean, how do you think I got to Fox Sports Radio? Colin's my guy and the guys running the show are my guys. And let's do it. Let's go to a different place. Let's do it together. They know how I work. I know how they work. It's great. So when you watch Washington play and you realize that over the past 2 years, 2.5 years, they've had multiple opportunities to sign Cam Newton for minimum money, right? Like even Taylor Heineke, you signed a 2-year deal. It's like 2 years, like $8 million. Like that's backup quarterback money. By the way, a little bit more money than they paid Cam Newton to stay in New England. You watch Taylor Heineke play and you're like, well, whether or not he's great or a long-term starting quarterback, I don't think he is, but he's good enough and he's like the perfect backup. He's kind of undersized, not making a bunch of money. He can run around. He can make plays. Yeah, he got a little lucky on the interception last night, like all of those things. But you start to realize that no matter what Ron Rivera says about Cam Newton, like that ship has sailed. Heineke was with him in Carolina. He brought him over. Kyle Allen was Cam's backup and then replaced Cam when he was hurt. He traded for him and brought him over. Cam's done in his eyes. You couldn't get a better setup than a short-term starter with minimum money. And they're like, we prefer Taylor Heineke, who, by the way, was better last night than anything Cam did all of last season, including the Seattle game, which is like his one game where he played really well throwing the football. That's just the reality of the sports. Like Tony Romo said when Dak Prescott took his job because Romo was hurt and Dak played so well. Football's a meritocracy. Doesn't care about your feelings. Here's Taylor Heineke on getting his first NFL win.
First start was, what, 2 or 3 years ago in Carolina? Threw 3 picks, tore my tricep. It was just a brutal thing, and that was my last start until last year, Tampa. Come in Tampa last year, had a good game, but ultimately fell up short, and then finally get that first win. So it's nice to get that weight off your shoulders, and hopefully we can keep the ball rolling.
Now here's Ron Rivera on how Heineke bounced back from that late interception.
The thing that was real impressive about him was the way he bounced back after the turnover. You know, prior to that, you know, he went down in what, three plays and scored a touchdown, and then we turned around and we were trying to kill the clock. You know, he made a bad read, made a bad decision. He should have put the ball in the back's hands, going to the flat instead of trying to throw the curl. And, you know, James Bradberry made a heck of a play. And but, you know, getting that opportunity, he stepped up again.
I don't even think Heinicke played in the XFL when he was in the XFL. He was an emergency quarterback and last year, of course, gets his first win. His last time he started was against Tampa in the playoffs that he talked about, and they lost a fairly competitive game. Tampa goes on and wins the Super Bowl. By the way, Dexter Lawrence is getting eviscerated by people. If you watch the replay on social media, you realize that he wasn't actually even offsides. Nonetheless, here's Joe Judge on his defensive lineman jumping offsides on what was a missed field goal.
I'm not going to put this on Dex. And I don't want to put this on Dex. Okay, Dex is a good player. He's a strong piece of our locker room. He's a good teammate. He's fun to coach. He's productive for us as a player. I'm not going to put this on Dexter Lawrence. Okay, there's things we all have to do better as professionals. All right, but I'm not going to put this on any one player or one situation.
Smart coaching, right? Smart coaching. And oh, yeah, by the way, when you watch the film, you'll realize that he wasn't actually offsides. Watch the replay. Guy named Alex Wilson, who is the founder of Empire Sports Media. Guy in New York, he shows the replay, and clear as day, as the ball moves, that's when Dexter Lawrence moves. And it is one of those things where we sit here and we'll sit here and say, like, gosh, replay is really tedious. And it does take away from the excitement of the game where you score a touchdown, but wait, we got to go review every touchdown. You get an interception, we got to review any interception. You recover a fumble, we got to... On the other hand, are you familiar with the least reputable evidence in a criminal trial? Do you know what it is? Okay, the least reliable form of evidence is eyewitness testimony. It sounds bizarre, right? And you're like, well, because what lawyers will do, and they're smart, is they throw out scientific numbers and they're like, well, 97%, that means there's 3% chance that it's not accurate. 97% in scientific form is actually considered a fact. Science leaves the opportunity there for a very, very strange outlier there. And the older we get, the more we learn about science, the more we realize that it was like the OJ trial and DNA and things like that. One in 10 million is actually a statistical fact, not the proof of some outlier there or some other guy that we don't know about. But the least reliable form of evidence is eyewitness testimony. And that's what Dexter Lawrence was found guilty by. Because when you go to the replay, he ain't offsides. He just got a great jump. A perfect jump. And look, I'm with you. I'm watching the thing and I'm like, bro, you're right next to the football. How can you jump? You know, I played football as a kid. I was telling my son this. When I was 7, I was far and away the littlest guy on the team. So they actually played me at the defensive line. I played nose tackle, just like kind of the same spot, like right there in the A-gap as Dexter Lawrence. So I'd be a four-point stance. And when he snapped the ball, I'd try and just get through because I was smaller and quicker and just grab the quarterback's ankles. And a couple of times a game, it would work. And what you know about playing that position is all you got to do, you don't have to listen to anything else. As soon as the ball moves, you're free to go. And I'm sitting there going like, how the hell does he jump offsides? Then you watch the replay and you're like, wait a second. He wasn't offsides. All right, so what's the net? What's the takeaway? Heinicke strikes me as a Fitzpatrick type where he can run around, he can throw, but he is little. And when you're little like that, there are times in which you're going to make throws. You're going to have to guess a little bit. You're going to have to try and be smarter than coverage, and that's not always going to work out. Like, he was a journeyman for a reason. Long term, I would guess they'll figure him out some. And Washington is in one of those years where they just need a quarterback to try and score him some points, especially if they can get a lead, because that defensive line is still filthy. But two games in, they are very precariously close. They're a Darius Slayton drop away from being 0-2 on this year. The Giants, I don't know. That was I thought for Daniel Jones, I thought that was a pretty good night. And they're using him in smart ways and allowing him to run. And look, I even think Jason Garrett's got to go to more of the RPO game, which worked for them early, and they went away from it late. But it's still a figuring out process, and I'm not as down. I mean, look, they lost everyone's favorite offensive lineman to a terrible injury last night. But as they continue to fix that offensive line, like, I don't think the Giants are that far away. They were obviously bad in week one. It's a disappointing loss in week two, especially one you got to feel like got away from them. But considering they're going against an elite pass rush, to be able to have Daniel Jones make plays and be in position to win a game, I'm not as down on the Giants as other people are. Now, you got to find ways to win those games, but not. And I love what Joe Judge said. I'm not going to put it on Dexter Lawrence. You might put it on Dexter Lawrence in private, because those are the mistakes. Those are the little things, the game of inches that cost you a game. But when you watch the tape, you're like, you know what? He's actually the victim of eyewitness testimony, which is not totally accurate.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. My kids have this thing, right? I got three of them. Anybody want one? Anyway, my kids have this thing where, how about this one? You guys can appreciate this one. So one of my daughters has a job. She's 15 and she's got champagne taste and a beer budget, right? I always tell her. So I kind of was like, you need to get a job. And so she's like, okay. So she went and she got a job at, I'll give him a little plug here. A place called Bonsai Bowl, right? Bonsai Bowl smoothies, and they got pitaya bowls. And how do I say those? Is it acai? Is it acai? Acai? Is it acai bowl? Is that how you say it?
Sounds Isaac, good to me, Doug.
Jason, do you know? I mean,
I don't know.
Isaac, do you know? You guys do know what an acai bowl is, right? No one actually knows what acai
is. I actually definitively know that that is the correct pronunciation. I've actually been so bored, I've actually looked up the pronunciation, and you got it right on the first try.
Okay, what is acai?
I didn't say I was Google. No, it's it's like a really potent, healthy, it's not really a fruit. I think it's like a seed or a berry that grows like in Brazil. Okay. It's like a plant.
Okay. And so are they seeds or are they berries that are like smashed up?
What is this? Wild?
I'm actually interested. I eat it all the time. And I'm like, you know what? I don't actually know what this is. Anyway, how about this one? So I go in yesterday. She's been working for a couple weeks now. So I go in yesterday and I just kind of like pop in. Sun goes down. I hadn't eaten all day. I'm like, I'm going to try and eat healthy. I'm going to get a bowl. So it's 8:20 already. I was like, what's better, a bowl or a smoothie here? She's like, I like making smoothies and I wanted her to make it. So I was like, okay, I want this one. So it said 8:25, and she's like, 8:25. I was like, I don't get the discount. She's like, no, the discount's for me. I was like, you can't ring me up under your tab? Does anybody else think that she should have given me a discount? I mean, I guess you're just early on not trying to get fired, but I don't think she would get fired if she rang her old man up.
I hate to say this, but I do know this. 8:25 is actually on the affordable side of acai bowls. Usually those babies are like $11.99.
I understand, but she was charging me full price. When she gets 40% off, I mean, like, shouldn't the old man get 40% off?
I think you give her a few months. Like, 2 weeks into a job, she's probably on her best behaviors. In 6 months, she'll give you the discount, maybe even just give you the whole thing.
Now, I don't want her to give me the whole thing. I don't want to get in trouble. I want her to charge me what she charged me, but charge me what she gets the discount. Anyway, I bring it up because my kids have this thing where when I say maybe, they're like, that means no. Like, no, no, no. No means no. Maybe means I'll think about it. The answer is probably a no. right? Because if it's a yes, then it's a yes. It's very simple. Can I? No. Can I? I don't know. Maybe. Right? I don't know. Maybe. We had Mario Cristobal on earlier this week. Now, you'll get Oregon fans like, say he shut you down, Gottlieb. Like, I don't know. Like, look, I don't know Mario Cristobal. I know guys that know him. Everybody likes him. He's done a really good job at Oregon. And in addition to wanting to congratulate him, the full context of the question, and these guys can attest to it, was I was talking about how I thought the question that was asked of Urban Meyer was, it was a pathetic question. It's like, you know, I hate to ask you this. It's come up. You can shoot it down. Like, just if it's a legitimate question, ask a legitimate question. If it's not a legitimate question, don't ask. So Oregon beats Ohio State. It's the win of the year in college football. And it wasn't just the fact that they beat him. It wasn't a fluke. They beat him at the line of scrimmage. And a lot of that is Joe Moorhead offense coordinator, Mario Cristobal, who's former offensive lineman, offensive line coach, who's their head coach. Like, all of that stuff makes sense to me. Like, you are what your best player is, and you are what your coach is. That team looked like their coach. Tough, rugged, physical. And the critique of so many Pac-12 teams, the critique, frankly, of USC football is way too soft. Dink and dunk, Western Kentucky offense, et cetera, et cetera. So USC has an insider named Scott Wolf, and he reports that Mario Cristobal is USC's top choice. And I bring up, if it's no, it's no. If it's maybe, well, that's different. I asked Coach Cristobal for, like, first question. I was just trying to, hey, I was basically trying to get it out of the way without saying, you know, let's just get it out of the way. Okay, here's the Q&A with the coach. I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm not going to soft sell it. I'm just going to ask you. There's a job in your conference which came open. When people mention your name for said job, what would your response be?
My response is go Ducks.
Any chance that you at least have a conversation about it?
I'm saying, telling you again, go Ducks. I'm not sure why you brought me on this interview. I was talking about the Oregon Ducks and whatnot. Since we go this route, I'll reinforce it again. Go Ducks. And so here I am, buddy.
So here's the problem with his defensiveness in the answer, right? Because if you want to take issue with, hey, asking it right out of the gate instead of warming him up or whatever, I gave him a chance to, hey, what would you say? If somebody threw it out there, what would you say? He said, go Ducks. Like, okay. And then I said, is there any chance to even have a conversation? All he has to say is, no, not interested. Why wouldn't you say no, not interested? Now, he didn't say maybe, but like if we really want to parse words, he didn't say no. If you want to end all speculation, then end all speculation. I mean, I understand that we're all like, even if he says it, people are going to say Nick Saban said it. You're allowed to go like, hey, you asked me that one in September. Things changed by the time we got to November. Or well, I spent some time thinking about it and realizing it wanted to change or whatever. But if the answer is unequivocally no, don't you just say unequivocally no? Like those of us who are parents understand, like if we want to say no, you say no. If you want to say yes, you say yes. Otherwise you go like, I don't know, maybe. You could still be leaning no. His felt like a maybe. I'm just going to say go Ducks. That's not really even close to an appropriate answer for the question. Right? Feels like crazy burst in the room going, go Ducks! No, but coach, I just want to know, would you ever talk to USC about the job? Go Ducks! No, but would you have a conversation? Go Ducks! Seem weird to anybody else?
I certainly didn't think that you got dunked on, as some people on Twitter have indicated. You asked a fair question. He got defensive.
Yeah, am I supposed to not ask the question? Well, he's answered the question before. Not to me.
That's true.
And I don't even know if he had answered. Like, literally, I think we're the only thing he did this week.
Well, what happens is you put that out there so other dudes are scared to ask the question. That's why you do it. But if you say, hey, I'm only going to answer this question once, I understand. It's a really good job. I understand it's a really big program. I understand it's out of respect for what we built here at Oregon, but I'm not interested. I intend to be the head coach of the University of Oregon. As long as they'll have me here, we're just beginning to build it. These are not hard answers. Go ahead, Ramos.
But you have to respect him or any coaches for, I mean, they can't even hint. They have to give. I mean, you're right. It's not a no, but I think it's just a disservice to the program if you even say maybe. I think you just have to say that. Whether or not we can speculate for the next month on whether or not he was lying or whether or not he meant to say maybe or no, I think it's a disservice as I mean, you wouldn't. Somebody asked you, Doug, are you leaving for another network? You're not going to say maybe. You're going to say, well, I'm working at Fox Sports Radio, and it's not a no, but it would be a disservice to us here at the network for you to even say possibly. Don't you think, or am I off base on
that? Ask me the question,
Doug. Are you at all interested in the job at blank blank network coming up that has been opened up with the recent departure of blank blank?
Look, I'm frankly honored anybody would think to hire me for another job, but I just this summer negotiated an extension of my contract. I really enjoy working with John Ramos, especially. Jason Stewart, I'm kind of 50-50 on. Isaac Lohenkron, whatever. But no, all of the, like I enjoy what I'm doing and who I work for, so I'm under contract. It's not really a discussion that you can have, nor am I comfortable having. I respect the question and the reason for asking it. If a job comes open and somebody throws your name out there, it means they think you're actually decent at it. So that's a good thing. But no, I'm under contract. I'm very happy at Fox Sports Radio.
Okay, so
is that
what?
Hard?
Well, no, but what? So
then, if it changes, then go like, look, it was so much money. It was so much money. It was stupid, and I went to my boss at Fox and like, dude, that's a lot of money. You got to take that, you know, like, or you know, things change. Like that was September in 2021. This is, you know, January in 2022, and some other things had changed that you don't know about, and it just kind of made sense for me and my family to make a switch. Like these are, it's reasonable. I know we want to call everybody a liar. My point is like, look, if he really, really, really isn't interested, just say I'm not interested. It's okay. Hey, I'm Mario Cristobal. Hey, I'm gonna save you guys a call. You don't have to call my agent. You don't have to call me. You don't have to call to ask permission. I'm not interested. It's not my thing. You know, I appreciate it. But instead he goes, I'm just answering the question, go Ducks. Like, what is that? Isaac, what do you think of the whole thing?
You know, I just remember for the first time in a long time, do you remember when Roy Williams was going from Kansas to North Carolina and Kansas lost in the national championship game and he got really snippy during that post-game interview? Do you remember that? That was
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I don't give a a gall darn. That was right before he left for North Carolina. That was his last game coaching at Kansas.
I mean, are the media...
Bonnie Bernstein asked the question.
Exactly. Are the media police going to, you know, come get you if it turned out that you said something that proved to be inaccurate or could be considered a lie 8 months earlier? I mean, what's the big deal of just doing the stock answer that any slick coach could give in their sleep like you just did there? By the way, I also thought back in the day when you asked Brad Pitt if he had any interest in Angelina Jolie on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I thought that actually turned out to be very prescient. Because he was pretty defensive about that, too.
He was. He really fought that one off. And then turns out they had a thing and had like 15 kids, some of which were theirs. Let's get back to the first part you were talking about, which is you're talking about Roy Williams. The issue with Bonnie asking him the question was, I mean, he's literally on the court right after the game. Like, you know, I wouldn't like that would have been Jenny Taft asking him right after the game. When, hey, coach, you just beat Ohio State. What do you think about the USC job? Like, yeah, that's there's a little. And I know Bonnie, and I like Bonnie a lot and her journalistic instincts. And it was, if you're part of that is, if you're at the Final Four, everybody was talking about it. It's like elephant in the room there. I think that's one in which you would have probably gone to press conference. I do know that she had a producer in her ear telling her to ask the question, like supporting her to ask the question. And this is, by the way, it's classic Roy Williams. It was a valid question. I don't remember if she said, coach, with all due respect, I know you just lost a heartfelt game, right, to Syracuse in the national championship game. But everyone's talking about North Carolina, it being home. you know, there's a way of asking it, but that's kind of what Roy's done that for a long time. You know, I mean, like, look, when I was on CBS and we talked about Roy Williams and I said, you know, this is 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was with Seth Davis and I said, look, a lot of people in college basketball are thinking if they win the national championship, Roy could ride off into the sunset and Hubert, you know, but I think, and I believe that I'm paraphrasing myself, that if he does it, he'll retire in a way in which Hubert Davis gets the job. That's the Carolina way, because there's no other pure obvious successor. Right. So that night or after the game, instead of just simply answering the question, like, have you contemplated retiring? Because if you remember, he's always had the vertigo. He had, I think, dual knee replacement or hip replacement that offseason. One of his best friends died of cancer. He had a lot of stuff kind of going on, and he just didn't look, and he was still going the NCAA investigation. He just felt worn down by the whole thing. And so my point was, and that was the year they lost on Chris Jenkins' last second shot, right? So we don't know the question. I would have been smart for him to walk away. But instead of answering the question, you know, Doug Gottlieb couldn't even put his shorts on right. Like, but just to answer the question. Now, I was 5 years too early, but he did walk away. He did retire, and he did make sure that Hubert Davis got the job. So it wasn't completely in the dark, although some guys would tell me I was in the dark. Anyway, it's always interesting. We talked about semantics matter. And if Mario Cristobal really has no interest in it, it's really easy. Just go like, hey, I'm going to save you a phone call. USC, you're a great program. We respect you. We can't wait to compete against you. You got good fans. You got great players. I have no interest. Please don't call me. Nobody says that. They just don't. Instead, I'm just going to say, go Ducks. Well, I don't know why you had me on here. Like, what do you think I had you on there? Talk football. But I got to ask you about Oregon.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ramos only does this because he knows I love this.
I can't
help myself. Huh?
I try to play every song because I know you love it. I mean,
I know.
That's why we play these songs.
I know.
It's for Doug Gottlieb.
Who's the band again? This is Twilight Zone.
I was going to say Twilight Zone, but that's not the band. It's Golden Earring. That's it. Golden Earring.
Okay.
I was telling Jason that, you know, you had a bunch of songs that we still play from that you love, but you've let me sprinkle in a couple of songs here and there that I think you've come to enjoy, and this was one of them.
Yeah, no, and we did the Skate Party Wednesday one.
I mean, yeah, you're open to things like that. I like that.
Yeah, I like music. I think I'm gonna go to a concert this weekend.
Because of that?
No, I love concerts, and I have a friend of a friend is performing, and I don't want to jinx it unless I actually get tickets for it. So. I'm just going to be honest here, okay? This is just me. So where I am in the media landscape, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to you I'm Cowherd or Dan Patrick, right? Those guys are huge, colossal success stories. I've been able to pay the bills and do, by anybody's estimation, very, very well. But I do believe in using whatever sort of connections you have. I won't go sit. I'm never going to be in the upper bowl. Like, just don't even ask me. Don't even ask me. And I saw how much concert, like Dave Matthews Band was in my area at a place called Five Points Amphitheater. My buddies were all going. They're like, yeah, man, let's go. Like, okay, well, do you guys have tickets? Yeah, well, you can get tickets like in the pit. I was like, for how much? Like $500 a pop. Like, no way. There's no chance. I've seen Dave Matthews Band. They're very, very good. But like $500 to see a band, and you know, then if I want to bring somebody, it's $1,000. Like, nah. But if you want to give me some tickets and I'm really close, good. If you want to give me some tickets and I'm way out where the concession man won't come, just go, hey, I got some, but I know you're not going to use them. Like, that's cool. I'm a ticket snob. I say, I remember I went to my son's first baseball team. We went to an Angel game. We were like in the upper deck, and I was like, oh God. And then when we were in Connecticut, and he had a, He was a friend of his from school. He wasn't that close of friends with the kid, but the family was incredibly nice, and he was super into my son. And so the dad reached out and was like, hey, we're going to go to a Yankee game. It was like in April. We're going to take the Yankee train. Now, I don't know if you guys know this exists, but in Connecticut and in New York, they have you can take the train right to Yankee Stadium, but there's actually a train that's like hits all of the stops, basically stops everywhere, not an express, and then just ends up at Yankee Stadium, which is great because everybody's a Yankee fan, but it takes forever, although there's no parking and it's a lot. Anyway, we got there and we're up in the, you know, like the new Yankee Stadium fourth deck, and it's April, so it's still freezing cold. And I just remember going to the concession stand with him, and he's like, Dad, next time we come, can we sit closer? I was like, we're never going to sit this high ever again. We're with friends. We'll have a good time. And it was freezing. The next time we sat down in the Champions Club, which is with those big chairs. And here's what's cool, but I think Dodger Stadium has this as well, where you basically have a restaurant inside, complete snobbery, and no, I didn't pay. Okay, you always get a hookup. And where I worked previous to Fox Sports Radio, they had the Yankees rights, so they had a couple, like, four Champions Club tickets, and you could go to a random game if you gave them a heads up. But, like, it's so obscene. Like, you eat this amazing food, then you go out, and you're right next to the... And right when you walk out of the restaurant door and you're behind home plate, there's, like, racks upon racks of any different snack you can think of. I mean, I'm not talking Cracker Jack. I'm talking the good stuff. The Sour Belts, Sour Patch Kids, the popcorn, Cracker Jack, hot dog, whatever you want, they're just there. And once you go there, you can't ever go back. You can't go back to stowage. You can't go back to the third deck. I don't care how nice people are. No chance you can do it. So my point is, I do love all your music. I love all kinds of music. And I do want to go to a concert, but I'm the worst because... Yeah, I'm completely high maintenance and okay accepting it. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We mentioned Illinois. So if you're in Illinois, you can lay some money down on futures. Matt Nagy's future. When will Justin Fields start? You go to BetRivers Sportsbook. This is Matt Nagy. And a bit of an exchange with a reporter over Justin Fields.
Value does he have, I guess, as a chess piece within your game planning?
I think he provides a lot of value now that we're here at this point and we're not in training camp and the guessing game or whatever. Inevitably, what it does is when you have a guy like Justin, teams, when they see that, now they got to prepare in certain ways for certain things, things they may think of or not think of. So it just can help us that way, too.
So this is what Bears fit. Like, this is Jacob Ryan Hansen. Three names. Might be a serial killer. I'm just saying, three names. If we're talking chess piece, Justin Fields should be the queen. They're treating him like a pawn. This is where you don't know anything about football, Jacob, whoever you are. This is where fans don't know anything about anything. Okay, first, from the chess piece argument to it, here's the way it works. You get ready to play a team. So the Bears play this weekend, right? And the Bears are getting ready this weekend. And I know it's not a must-win game, but boy, you don't want to be 0-2. And they really didn't play well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They play the Bengals, which is, again, I know the Bengals are 1-0, and I know they're a lot better than the reputation would be. I mean, Joe Mixon was amazing last weekend. Joe Burrow looks solid. Their defense is massively improved. But if you're the Bears, who've made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, you expect to beat the Bengals. So the Bengals came in on a Tuesday is when they start to install everything. And you only have so much time and so many things to go over. And when you have a completely different quarterback with a completely different style and a completely different scheme in the red zone and potentially, you know, in third and short, that makes it more difficult. So that's what he's saying in terms of chess pieces. It is a chess game. But look, I've talked to people in the Bears organization. They're like, look, our offensive line's not good. He's not great at understanding all the protections. We have no if he's going to be our quarterback for the next 10 years, we have no rush over week one to week five. Like, let's let him where he can put his absolute best foot forward. He knows exactly what he wants to do and exactly how it works. That's the thinking there. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. He's the one and only John Middlecoff, three and outs, the podcast, and of course, the former NFL scout, former coach in college as well. Let's discuss the Bears. What do you think? I know you are a, why aren't you playing Justin Fields? The guys I know within the Bears are like, look, dude, he's not ready with the protections. He's just not. And we didn't think Andy played poorly. He 24 first downs or whatever wasn't the issue. The defense looked old and slow. Like, let's slow roll this thing out. Where are you on what the Bears are doing and how they're handling it?
Well, I hear you on the defense, but, you know, ultimately you got to score points. And I understand, you know, they value things that the fan can't see, you know, protections, understanding the offense. The problem is their offense is not going to be good enough with Andy Dalton. They won't be able to score points. And this weekend, to me, if you lose to the Bengals at home and refuse to play Justin Fields, besides, you know, sprinkling them in, no one's going to care. I just don't think anyone cares that, like, he can't read a defense. At least he can run around and make plays, and he excites people. Here's the other thing. You're going to keep losing more than likely with Andy Dalton. Now, you might lose with Fields, too. You probably would. But at least people get excited to watch. Like, you lose with Andy Dalton, isn't everyone there going to lose their job? That would be my take. And I understand not throwing him out week one, but, like, you're going to hold on to, like, week 11, you know, if you're 3-8. I just that to me would be the scary part, given, you know, the pressure. Unless they've been told by ownership, you know, you're good next year. I would just be nervous about that if I'm Nagy, how long I can just ride Dalton, because I really like him and I value what he brings to the table if we're not winning.
Daniel Jones, did he prove anything to you didn't know last night?
Yeah, I mean, he's an ultimate roller coaster. He is talented, right? I mean, he can really run. He's big. He actually has a pretty good arm. He's supposed to be really accurate. Sometimes he's not that accurate, but when he's playing well, he looks fine. He looks solid. I would say last night would be on the higher end of his performances, and usually he's not even close to that good. So, you know, we get to the point, year three. Now, the defense of him is like the Bears. Their offensive line's pretty bad, and they can't run the ball, so there's no balance. You know, if he's going to be an Alex Smith version of a player, and I think that's kind of what he is, you know, best case scenario, you have to have a good run game. And when Saquon had the one big run, but other than that, they can't just, you know, run for 140 yards and just kind of, you know, that's how they should play, right? They have a solid defense. You get play action stuff and Saquon Barkley, but they can't play that way because they can't win at the line of scrimmage with their O-line. Now, the Washington's defensive line is pretty good, but I think it looked like that the previous week against Denver, who also – most teams have good defensive lines. I mean, that's where a lot of teams spend their money. So if your offensive line is a question mark, I mean, Gettleman now, I guess 2 years ago, he takes, you know, Thomas in the first round, the kid from Georgia, over Becton and worse. And it's just probably a mistake. You know, those guys are just better. And they had a really high pick, and they invested at the right position. They just picked the wrong guy.
Can Heinicke be a quarterback long? He feels like a perfect backup to me. Do you think he's a starter long term?
Someone shot me a text last night, called him a sloppy Tony Romo.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's just got, you know, some Gardner Minshew. Yeah, I mean, he's just – obviously Tony's way better than those guys. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah, he's definitely an NFL player. Can he start – you know, he had the good playoff game where he looked pretty awesome just running around. Kind of last night, beside the pick, same thing. Can you do that for 15 games? That's where it gets difficult. For a team that, you know, wants to compete to make the playoffs, I would bet against it. But – he's a pretty good contingency plan if you're starting quarterback, which, let's face it, the football team didn't really have, right? You know, Fitzpatrick's just a Band-Aid. For as awesome, as fun as he was last year, people act like he threw 35 touchdowns. Like, he threw 13, you know? I think his ratio was 13-8. So it's not like they were getting Patrick Mahomes here, you know? So I it's going to be difficult to maintain winning. Like, my take, Doug, after watching last night, like, those are the two worst teams in that division. I think the Eagles are better, and I think the Cowboys are better.
The Eagles are a fascinating thing. We only see them once. We saw them against the Falcons, so we'll probably get a better sense this week. Okay, the Rodgers thing, like, that was bad. Now, everybody saying it's bad is perfect for Aaron Rodgers, because he loves to – last year was a personal FU tour to everybody, but you talk to people in this league. I mean, didn't he look like it? The Parcells famous quote, right? If you talk about being retired, you already are, right? Isn't that what it feels like? Was that play last weekend?
Yeah, to me, I'm going to have to reserve judgment to make some bold statement that it's just over now. He doesn't give a crap. Like, I do allow in a football season a couple stinkers. That you're allowed that in the NFL. Now, ideally, it happens when you're 8-1 and you just don't care, right? Week one is a little alarming. I mean, there's no way around it. But he was, you know, in Hawaii all offseason doing whatever he wanted. Then he shows up in training camp. And, you know, it was just weird, let's face it. Maybe it's just going to take them a minute. I know you did too. I thought they were going to be awesome. But if he's not MVP level, even if he's just like fringe Pro Bowl, they would be in trouble. You know, part of their dominance is having, you know, LeBron James, Steph Curry level performance from their quarterback, like elite, right? And if that's not the case, I would expect them to kill the Lions this week and him to be awesome. So I still think he's too damn good to kind of write off. But I'd be naive to say there might be something there, right?
You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this today. Everybody's talking about the Urban Meyer thing. And I don't think that he's going to USC. If he wanted to go to USC, he could have gone to USC last offseason, right? Like, that's the truth to it that no one's talking about. But shouldn't he? Right? Like, does he? Maybe he thinks, you know, the hardest thing to get is a quarterback. And even though he wasn't good this past week, I got a quarterback. But shouldn't he? Shouldn't he take the USC job?
I just think sometimes in life, and I get it, you know, ultimate alphas, super rich guy, they want to prove their worth. And it's a unique profession, right? Because you can be anointed this all-time great coach, which he was in college. But there's this other level of what you do that's considered higher, even though you could argue, like, Urban, why does it even matter? You're getting paid $10 million in college. You think Nick even cares at this point? Of course not. He's just rattling off natties, making a ton of money. He's a king. You know, he passed that a long time ago, even worrying about it. I think Urban kind of got obsessed with, I can do this. Then, in fairness, he realizes, like, damn, I can get this job that has the number one overall pick. But then he realizes your team stinks, and it's hard to get coordinators. Like, I don't think his coaching staff's that good. I'm with you. Like, to me, 100% the move. If I'm SC, I am doing what Alabama did way back in the day. I have an unlimited amount of money if I want to get it together to go get a guy like that. And I know this. If I get Urban Meyer, I don't just win. I win huge. I'm competing with Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson every single year for national championships. And if I'm Urban, who already looks completely miserable, and I was just talking to a buddy in the league who's like, he heard that building, like, well before seasons even started. You know, Balky, you know, is not Mr. Happy. Obviously, Urban is not Mr. Happy. It's not the friendliest place, and they are not going to win many games. I do think it's the one franchise. Like, if he had got the Cowboys job, he had become the head coach of the Steelers or the Packers. If you just took off, like, you don't live that down. That brand's too big. It's just too big of an important of a franchise. I don't think anyone would even care. It's like, yeah, you left the Jags. He wasn't cut out, but it's the Jags. Who would? To me, it's the one franchise where I think 2 minutes later, people be like, I can't wait to watch Urban at USC.
I agree with you. Did you hear Mario Cristobal's answer to my question?
I saw it get tweeted out, and he just said, go Ducks.
Yeah, well, here. Ramos, you got it for me? Yeah, here, cue this thing up. So this is, so in, I was playing the, did, I don't know if you heard, but some guy asked Urban this, and his way of asking the question was like, hey, there's some speculation out there. I want to give you a chance to respond. Like, making it out like the question was a ridiculous question when it's a legitimate question. So coming off of that, here's how I asked Mario. I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm not going to soft sell it. I'm just going to ask you, there's a job in your conference which came open. When people mention your name for said job, what would your response be?
My response is go Ducks.
Any chance that you at least have a conversation about it?
I'm saying, telling you again, go Ducks. I'm not sure why you brought me on this interview. I was talking about the Oregon Ducks and whatnot. Since we go this route, I'll reinforce it again. Go Ducks. And so here I am, buddy.
Why not just say no? I'm not interested. Like, I'll save you a phone call.
Well, I mean, I think he probably wants a little raise. You know, because for him, it wouldn't, to me, it doesn't make sense if they could, if they'll, let's say USC offered him 5 years, $50 million. Well, Oregon could just pay that too, and you're already rolling at Oregon. So you just don't even need to, USC, even if they landed a sweet coach, they'd be a couple years away. You know, and ultimately, I think he wants to go to Alabama, which Nick, who I think I read he's going to turn 70 pretty soon, you know, how many more years the guy going to coach? But, you know, I think these coaches, you know, they're pretty coached up now by their, you know, these coaches coach up their players on what to say. I think their agents, and I'm pretty sure he's a Jimmy Sexton guy, coaches up them what to say. It doesn't behoove him to just throw out a huge no. But do you think it makes sense for him to go to USC? Like, if I was him, I'd just stay at Oregon and keep rolling and dominating. Why would you leave? The recruiting is elite.
It is, but I mean, it's easier at SC.
I know, but he's not. It's not like he's. I would agree. Let's say if he was like Doug Gottlieb from Southern California, I'd be like, this makes sense.
I understand.
He's from the South.
Okay, but so if you're not going to leave, why not just go like, hey, I'll save you a phone call. I don't.
Because again, I think Jimmy coaches these guys up. They pray. I think coaching agents. Hot take here on just football in general. You know, we're hard on players, but it is way more difficult to become a player in pro sports and definitely in football than it is to become a coach. And these coaches now, and not just head coaches, but the coordinators, they are making so much money. And a lot of them, I mean, probably half of them aren't that good, but their agents are getting them so much cash. And I'm not trying to diminish Mario. He just had one of the biggest wins in like program history.
Yeah.
But like, there's so much money on the line now that they're very careful, because he's going to go and try to get, I would imagine, like a $40 million extension or whatever at the end of the season for more.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he doesn't need SC to get that. That would be my take. Real quickly, I got like 30 seconds. Mac Jones, are you a buyer?
Yeah, I mean, he is what he is. And for what they need, he's going to be fine and he'll be good, you know. But
that was the least, that was as tepid a response to I like him as any you have ever given me. You know, he's fine. He's got a good, you basically told me she's got a good personality.
I'd rather have him than Tua, tell you that much.
Everyone I know who's watched that game and broke down that tape has said the exact same thing.
Yeah. So that's, I feel confident on that statement.
John Middlecoff, 3 and Outs podcast, download it. It's on the Volume. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
See you, Doug. Later.